Welcome to the doghouse. Mark Marquez's engineer says Mark Marquez is a slacker. He's a slacker.
From the guy who probably doesn't do anything all race weekend.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
As a continuation of last week, starting off this week.
But you're going to have to stick around a little while and listen to the show if you want to hear what's behind that.
Okay.
We'll do that a little bit later on. It's like a teaser.
I'll give my teaser. There's less money in MotoGP than I thought. What's that? That's my teaser.
Okay.
Less money than you thought.
Way less.
Okay.
Okay.
In the is that like in the series in general?
Well, let's start with that. That's interesting stuff.
Okay. So I read that as of December 31st, January 1st, Tech 3 is going to have a new owner.
I know that.
They're KTM because it's, you know, Tech 3 KTM just doesn't flow as Tech 3 Yamaha always rolled off the tongue. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a new owner. But here's the thing is I was shocked by how little the team sold for. $25 million.
That is a pretty low number.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought it'd be that low
for a competitive team.
We don't know, and they never do give you this information. Is how deep is the debt, right? So maybe the team's worth $100 million. It's got $75 million worth of debt. No one's going to pay more than $25 million for it.
Yeah.
So we don't know that they never give out that information. So I always say,
They're guessing. They said between 20 and 25 million. So that's lira, right? 20 and 25 million lira, not lira, euros.
Euros.
That's like 23.5 million US.
Yeah.
And I feel like that
you would think you would think it would be worth a lot more than that. And maybe it is, but maybe, you know, who knows how badly mismanaged it was.
It's not.
Well, it may not be. It may not be, and that just may be the nature of the beast, right?
Maybe
running a satellite team is something you do for entertainment. It's not profitable.
It was not the first time we've heard that racing motorcycles was not profitable.
Yeah,
racing's not profitable.
No, not.
You know how you make a millionaire in $1 million in racing?
Start with $1 billion.
You end up with $1 million.
Yep.
So, anyways, I just thought that that kind of shocked me.
It is a surprising number.
And I was like, okay. I thought I could see, somebody wants out. And then it was like 20 to 25 million euros. And I was like, well, in real money, that's like 10 grand. I could have bought that.
Yeah, the thing about it is kind of weird because if you think about it, satellite teams, their primary assets are going to be like their equipment hauling stuff, their parts stores. They don't own the motorcycles. I don't know what that's worth.
Those
contracts they have, Phil, are probably contracts where they're buying stuff. So that's a debt.
No, but I mean, I'm sponsorship contracts.
Well, why did they sell? Maybe that's shrunk. Who knows? Yeah.
It doesn't give a reason why they sold it. Just
I would have said the same thing as you. My first reaction would have been that's way lower than I would have guessed.
Yeah. I heard the rumors they were selling and I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, because
I saw the price and I was like, what?
Yeah, because the guy that's been running that team like forever announced his retirement earlier this season that the team would be sold.
And it's Gunther Steiner who bought it. He was a F1 guy.
He was the F1 guy. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was an F1 rally owner, F1 team owner.
Yeah.
I think he had a rally team too.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. And then the guy who sold it there, I don't know. I'm going to butcher his name.
Hervé Poncharal.
Poncharal? Is that how you say
it? Yeah. Yeah.
So if we put it,
he's the guy.
He's
the guy. He's the little guy from Fantasy Island.
Yeah. I thought he was. Yeah, I thought maybe his paunch from, you know, Chips.
But
no, he's the like, guy. I think that was the name of the little guy. That you know, the plane.
Yeah. But his quote is, I don't. It's sold for $25 million. I don't luxury. I drive a Peugeot. Number one, I love Peugeots. You find me a Peugeot diesel, I'm in. I don't have much respect for the French, but I remember in the 80s, Peugeot diesels had like 46,000 lights and buttons inside the car. I just love that. And that
I think it's a great thing because when it breaks down, it just raises the white flag.
Yeah. You know? But here's the thing. It's like, you know, he's like, I sold it for $25 million and I don't like luxury. I just thought it would be worth more.
Well, you know, who knows what he started it for, right? Maybe he started it for $2 million and he turned it into 20-some million. That's not a bad return.
Or he started it for 50 and turned it into 25 million.
Well, I don't think he would have been talking about his, you know, the money side of it.
He's talking about a Peugeot. He's not like, I like my Ferrari or I like my Mercedes.
He's French.
I drive a Peugeot.
He's French. That's what they drive.
And I can see him getting out before the new bikes need to come in. Because, you know, I'd get rid of it. If I wasn't that dedicated to it, I'm tired, I'm ready to retire. Now's the time to get out before you got to start bringing the new bikes in and retooling.
But you're not retooling. They don't build those bikes, Warren.
No, you still have to maintain them. You have to train the people.
You still have to buy replacement parts every season.
But
you do that no matter what, right? That's the cost of running a team.
Yeah. Swapping the bike out completely is probably a bigger step and a bigger headache than
it probably is. And he's been doing it, I think, for 25 years, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, this ain't his first change.
No.
It's not his first rodeo.
Yeah.
But I just, like I said, I was just shocked. I would have thought 100.
Yeah, I would have. That's what I would have thought too, like $100 million. Because I would think the assets
Maybe they did spend that. Yeah. 25 in cash and absorbing $75 million in debt.
Yeah, that's possible.
I didn't think it would say that.
No, they don't. They never let you know that. The inside parts of the deal are never exposed. Somebody will leak it at some point, but not yet. You know? And so that might have been a way for him to get out. You know, I walk away, put $25 million in my pocket, and I walk away from all that debt.
The debt goes with the company.
Yeah. So I'm sure it was a good deal for him in any case, right? It was a good deal for him.
I hope so. But
he'll upgrade to a 2026 Peugeot.
Yeah, it'd be like, I got me a 1994. Yeah.
He wanted a Renault.
I don't know if I'd bypass like mid-90s in the Peugeots.
Yeah, I don't even, I mean, do they make them? I don't even know if they make them anymore.
I think so.
Do they make Renaults anymore?
Yes.
They
Renault
do?
And Peugeot are still well-regarded in Europe. And because you couldn't really import very many American cars over there, there's still quite a few of them.
Peugeot was like the first car I ever saw with an aluminum block motor. their diesels in the 80s had an aluminum block motor. You could just like weld it. It would blow through the side of the motor all the time, but you just welded it. You could do that stuff right there on the side of the road. It was like do 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 do.
Well, I'll add that to my list of cars that I know I'll never buy. All right.
They do make Peugeots. I had to Google that. I didn't know the answer.
And they do make Renaults still? I haven't seen a Renault dealership in 30 years.
I'll be okay with ads and Google from Peugeot. I want to see no Renaults on my feet.
Yeah,
that's crossing the line.
Well, Google's already heard you say the word so many times, it will be there.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
Well, speaking of MotoGP, there was some interesting MotoGP rider news. Darren Binder is now going to be racing in Moto America for Warhorse Ducati.
Happened. Not a promotion.
No.
Yeah, definitely not getting dropped from Moto 2.
He's going to be
Moto
racing.
3. I'm sorry, Moto 3.
No, Moto 2.
Moto 2, right?
Moto 2.
Well, he was on 3. He moved to 2. He went to GP, then back to 2. Now he's with Moto America.
I don't remember him in GP. Dameron? I don't remember.
I thought Brad was
the GP. I didn't think he was. I thought it was Darren Moto too.
I don't think so. Right. I don't think.
I thought it was Moto too because they said he had a real good position as a back marker, and he said, "Oh, I'll take that."
Yeah. Well, and he's going to be racing Super Sport, not Super Bike.
Well, that seems to be a trend lately.
It does.
Yeah.
That just says to me, Super Bike field might be small.
Well, the Super Bike field is like. It's like a, you know, the aging rest home, right? Everybody's aging out in that series.
Unfortunately, you are right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't see the big up-and-comers. I mean, just a few years ago, we had, remember, the big craze with the, you know, with Sean Dillon Kelly and all that.
Oh, my God.
And
it was SDK. The youth move.
Yeah.
Andrew Rocco Lee, Landers.
Jason Uribe. Rocco Landers. Where have those guys gone?
I know. Huh?
Or did they root? Did they run out of talent? Right.
Well, Sean Dillon Kelly went. You remember he went over to Moto 2, right?
And I know
and that Uribe, wasn't good. And that wasn't a good
following
thing.
Following his real job and races on weekends.
Well, Uribe is
a firefighter,
and I think he's still a test rider for somebody. At least the last time I'd heard, he was doing that.
And then what
a development rider or something.
Andrew Lee was riding. What was it? Hooligans or Superstock, something like that.
Yeah.
But he never panned out. I mean, I remember what was about 7-8 years ago. He was all the rage about him, and he never even ran a Superbike
race.
Well,
I'm going to say something to probably surprise you guys that I actually think that for Darren Bender, this is a good move.
Really?
Even though it's not a promotion. Yeah, because his career, he was swirling the bowl, okay? Yeah. So to me, I would rather be a big fish. I would rather be a big fish in a small pond than a dead fish floating on the other ones, right? So I think for him,
he probably wasn't even going to be floating. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I don't.
Yeah, but I don't. I think if he was going to Super Bike in Motor America, I would agree with you. But he's going to Super Sport.
But that's the logical place for a Moto 2 rider to go.
Here's what I'm going to say is, I think Super. I'm going to say this. I know Ken's going to rip into me. I think Superbike as a series is in worse shape than Moto America, as far as like growing and like having momentum. Right.
I don't know why you think I'm going to rip into you. That I agree totally.
Yeah.
I didn't think so. I thought you.
No, I agree. I agree. Mean, I agree totally. And the thing that only frustrates me about it is the fact that they keep recycling Superbike riders in Super Sport, which I don't like. But, you know, hey, if Jason Ribby were to show up as a rider in Super Sport, I'd say that's great. You know, if Darren Bender can come over there and be competitive, maybe dethrone some of these Superbike riders. I love Josh Herron, but, you know, let's be honest. Okay, it's time for some youth.
Yeah.
We need the youths.
Yep.
So...
With all these older guys dropping back in the Super Sport,
I think for Darren Bender, it's a better move. His choices were probably going to be British Superbike or Moto America, and that's probably it.
Yeah. He's 27, though. He ain't.
He's not a spring chicken.
No.
So, and his big brother's kind of like sort of trapped in no man's land, right?
His big brother is like swirling the toilet bowl.
Yeah, he just stuck there. You know, that's the problem. It actually brings up a piece of information news that I didn't think about before, which I'll bring up now before I forget it again. And that is, I'll be the first to admit when I make a bad prediction. And I didn't think the
case. No, you're not.
Yeah, I would say, I said, I'm giving you the information right now. Shut the F up, okay? Okay? I predicted that KTM wouldn't make it through the 2025 season. Did I not?
You did. That's in the book of no accountability.
It is. And that's right. And I'm pulling it out of the book of no accountability because I was wrong. Obviously, they made it through 2025. But I wasn't totally wrong. I was just premature, okay? Because KTM has actually announced that they are now selling their racing operations. They can no longer afford to run their racing operations, and it's up for sale now.
Yeah, the new owners can't afford it.
Will they get a buyer? Who knows?
Maybe that new Chinese motorcycle company.
They apparently they have done zero development on the 2026 bike. Nothing. The 2026 bike will be the 2025 bike. What does that say to Pedro Acosta?
That says that I'm going to be right, and Pedro Acosta is going to go scream at MotoGP, and they're going to let riders break their contracts.
We'll see. I mean, you could be right. You could be right.
Because MotoGP can't be so dumb. They can't be so dumb that they listen, MotoGP, if you're listening, I'm going to say this. I've said this since day one on the Doghouse. Once you learn to go slow, it's impossible to learn to go fast again.
Yeah.
It is so much harder. Nobody can. If you're fast and then you start going slow.
Yeah, but I think we also said when Mark Marquez learned how to fly, he would never be able to sit in a seat again. So we weren't right about that.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, he did perfect flying. There's no question about it.
Yeah, Honda frequent flyer miles. That's for sure.
I mean, he didn't. He never got the landing right.
No, he didn't.
He did not stick the landing.
All right, Warren. Well, before I get into my teaser, why don't you give some of the stuff that you've.
All right, just some quick headlines. In King of Baggers Motor America, there's some big, medium level changes. Couple Harley guys now moved over to Indian. Hayden Gillum and Rocco Landers are now going to be racing for the Vance and Hines Indians. Vance and Hines was on Harley last year. Now they're going to have a Vance and Hines Indian.
Because.
So
they're no longer getting funding. They're no longer getting funding from Polaris anymore.
I'm going to say this, and I know, Warren, you're going to hate this, but I'm going to say this, and I'm dead serious. If they don't start fielding more than 7 or 8 bikes for a race, I'm going to stop watching.
They do need to get more bikes.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to disagree with you there.
Guys switching teams, this, that, and the other thing, you better start fielding riders because you're no better than the electric bike series AMA Pro Race Road Racing had 15 years ago that had 6 bikes in it.
Yep.
Like what's the point of having a points championship when there's only 5 guys running?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not going to disagree with you.
Right. Like,
I don't know why they can't have more. I mean, I don't know what's going on. The Bagger Racing League has more people in racing those.
I think if I was to just guess, and it's purely a guess, not based on anything else, but my guess would be that they're not getting the funding from the manufacturers that they thought they'd get. And so, you know, it means basically you pay the full boat of your running your team.
Probably. Yeah.
And that's just not a way to attract people to come in.
And that may be why that Vance Hines moved over to Indian. Well, that plus they want to sell more exhaust for Indians.
I'm sure.
But yeah. I'm just saying, I'm shocked. Indian was probably cheaper. Because to be honest with you, I don't think there's enough people watching that right now. Nope. Everybody watches. They see 5 or 6 bikes on the backstretch of Daytona. They say, wow, that's cool. And they don't watch another race.
Don't worry. They won't have to put up with it much longer.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to make
The series won't be here in 3 years if this goes on the way it is.
Yeah. They got to start adding. They've done it enough now. They got to start adding bikes.
Yeah.
They do.
Got to. All right.
And I just, you know, I don't know how they make that happen. That's the problem.
I don't either.
Well, sticking with Moto America, one of our fan favorite Josh Herron is now going to have another seat. He's going to be riding Super Hooligans on an Orange Cat Light Fighter electric motorcycle right alongside the internal combustion bikes. So they got like two or three.
That actually interests me a little bit.
I like that. I saw that article and a couple other things about it. I like that. I want to see what the electric bike is head to head to these guys. And if you're going to throw somebody out on a bike and you don't know how it's going to be, there's probably nobody better in that paddock to do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Crossing the finish line.
I would say it's a tie with Jiggy Dog, but
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But if you're going to send a bike out there, you're going to be like, this bike is going to be racing those and stuff. I can't think of a better guy to give it a fair shot.
I didn't even know the regulations allowed them to run an electric bike. How many laps do they run Super Hooligans? Do you know?
Only like 10. Or 12.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's got to be something where the electric bike can handle.
I think it depends on the track length, but I think as short as 8, but up to 12.
I think it's three quarters of a super bike race.
If an electric bike can run the laps, it's going to be way faster on the straightaways, way faster, you know? So the question is, are they going to try and do something to dampen that, right? Are they going to mess with regulations?
They did. They put Heron on it.
I think that actually, Heron's fast. He's still fast.
Heron's fast. Yeah. But Heron sometimes is like, wow, look how fast I am. And I'm going to put that into the fence.
It'll be interesting. From an interest standpoint. Yeah, that would make me watch too. I've never watched the Super Hooligans.
No, Orange Cat has two riders on their team. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's another. There was speculation there's going to be another electric bike, but I didn't see anything confirming that.
Is this the first year they've allowed electric bikes to run with the
I don't know. I don't remember seeing it last year.
Huh. I don't remember reading anything.
I don't remember reading anything either.
The article I read made it seem like it's always been allowed, just nobody's tried.
Or maybe there's been some sort of a technological change so they can run the full laps, because you can't stop to recharge in the middle of a race.
No. And I've never heard of Orange Cat.
Maybe Josh Aaron's going to wear like solar panels on his back.
you don't get enough electricity with solar panels. But you can fly.
Put a propeller on the front of it and be like a windmill and generating all electricity.
Yeah, so that's actually, I think I thought that was
interesting news.
That's cool, because they need to do something with Super Hooligans. I didn't see the draw of that to begin with. So
now we will see how it works out.
We will.
Yeah. And then one other piece of news is about Harley Davidson. They are putting up $600,000 in contingency funds for Moto America and American Flat Track this coming season. And that dollar figure kind of blew me away. I mean, you know, they may not have to pay it all out, because, you know, you got to win to get the money. But that's a lot.
I wonder how many retirement plans got canceled so Harley could pay for that.
One or two, maybe.
Yeah, I would say.
Hopefully their ex-CEO lost, you know, he's coughing up some of that out of his package.
The fact that Harley Davidson is paying any contingency money, I think, is just mind-boggling. I mean, it just is absolutely mind-boggling that they're doing that. They're sticking around racing, which I think is great, because I don't think that's a moneymaker anyway for them.
That's like three bike sales and a tax write-off.
But they're struggling to get those three bike sales.
which is my next piece of news. So that's not too good. So Kawasaki, would you believe
the number one motorcycle seller in America?
Yes. I was blown away.
Harley's not even number two. It's number three.
No, they're number three.
I'm shocked Harley's that high. Every bike I see, it seems to be a Kawasaki Ninja.
Oh, the Ninja and the Vulcan are their number one sellers.
Yeah. The Vulcan sells a lot.
Every dumb person under the age of 25 has a Ninja.
Yeah. It more surprised me that Kawasaki was number one, not Honda.
Over Honda. Yeah, that's a surprise.
Yeah.
Harley being in the top three is surprising. I thought Yamaha would be.
They worked their way down. A few years ago, they were number one.
They had a 6.5% drop year over year from last year on sales, but they're still double what Yamaha number four is. Yamaha had a tough year, and KTM a 23% drop year over year from, you know, but of course everyone thought they were going to lose, you know, go out of business completely.
I'm surprised Yamaha's number four, because Yamaha doesn't sell that many models in the U.S. anymore.
Yeah, no, they don't.
Like half the number they used to sell in the U.S. different models. So,
but they're a distant number four.
Yeah, because they only sell like five bikes, period. Yeah. And most of them are dirt bikes.
Yep. All right, Ken, what is your teaser about?
Yep, bring it on.
So there was an interview that was done with Mark Marquez's engineer technical manager. He holds both positions in there. And I guess he was like all psyched up when the announcement was made that Mark Marquez was going to ride in the factory team and he was going to get to work with Mark Marquez. And he said, it was actually shocking to him, because he thought that Mark Marquez was this guy that he's nonstop, 100% all the time. And he's, when they first started, he first started working with him, it was sort of surprising. He went to Mark Marquez and he said, "Hey, you know, you were pulling back a little bit. You weren't hitting as hard as ever." He goes, "Oh, I don't do that." And he said, "Why?" He goes, "I just go as fast as I have to go. And I don't push when I don't need to." He goes, "I push when I need to find the edge. But after that, then I don't push unless there's somebody behind me's pushing me."
A lesson, which is an interesting philosophy. The almost dying from Honda.
Yeah, I know.
No, I think he's always been like that.
I think he's always been like that.
And I think when he was young, he probably never talked about that, right?
Right.
But now that he's old and he's got championships and stuff, yeah, I that's not a lesson learned from Honda. That's a lesson learned because, you know, I think he's a raw talent, right? Like,
yeah,
like
he's a natural.
Right. He's not like a guy that has to work at it.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not that fast, right? Like, yeah. He's just that freak.
Yeah, I think he is.
And I to be honest with you, if that was my team, I'd be happy about that, right? Like, if he doesn't feel he's pushing it, odds are he ain't going to toss it.
Yeah, yeah. And this guy actually gave some, you know, the interview was pretty good. He said some really interesting things. He goes, you know, everybody talks about what a great, how great Marquez is at helping a team develop a bike, right? And he says, and he is, don't take me wrong, but he was given a lot of credit for where Honda got to in his peak years. And he said, but the truth of the matter is, and Mark Marquez would tell you the same thing, that bike was primarily built by Stoner and Pedroza. The best years in Honda were actually from development done by Stoner and Pedroza. And it was like, well, I guess that kind of makes sense. Because he came on to a fast bike. That bike was fast from his first day.
Yeah, it was already in the factory. A winner.
It was, yeah, exactly. It was already a winner. So that was sort of interesting that he said that. And he said that Mark Marquez will be the first person who would tell you that. And he says, in fact, that's where it came from. That he didn't build that bike. But he said the thing about at Ducati, he said that from Marquez's time when he was at the satellite team up until this past season, he said, when Marquez talks, everybody stops and listens. You know, they know he's only going to tell them what's going to make the bike better and make him faster on the bike. They said he's just got an uncanny ability to be able to diagnose problems when a bike's pushing, or, you know, the bike's tending to understeer, when the bike has stability, right, problems.
He's so bored by it, he can think about it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
I don't know. I don't know what you guys know about going fast, right? Mm-hmm. I will tell you in my experience, I am comfortable at fast. I'm not comfortable at super scary fast.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. At fast, I drive faster than most people I know. At fast, it's fine, right? I'll dive through a corner. I'll let the, mm-hmm. I'll slide a little. It doesn't bother me. But then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, my God, this is super scary fast. And guys I know who drive super scary fast, like race cars and stuff like that, like, yeah. Some of them are just so calm. Ken, one guy that we both know, Tommy Milner in mm-hmm. IMSA car, right? Like, yep. He's just like, oh, yeah, you know, you're going down there and you're thinking about this, you're thinking about that. It's like, I can see that, you know, I can see Marquez being the same way. Like, you can give good feedback because you're not panicked about making that turn. You're just like, I'm going to make it. Or yeah. I'd be like, I better brake here. Where's my points? Anyways, that's just my.
So, yeah, I just think that, yeah, he's just comfortable. I mean, that he's at home.
Yeah.
He's just at home at speed, you know.
Every pro athlete I've ever talked to says when they're doing their sport at the peak level, pro football, pro baseball, hockey, racing, right? They all say it's the sport slows down. And
yeah.
You see everything and you can control everything.
And that's why calming. He's a champion. That's
yeah,
why he's
and
a
that's
champion.
What makes you a champ, right?
Yeah.
Losers don't say that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, anyways.
Oh, cool.
I'm good with that. We'll be back next week. That'll be the couple of days before Christmas. On the couple. Oh, Ken, happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
I think that started today, right? I got the right
thing. Yep. It started last night.
I'm sorry. You know.
Yes. That's yes.
I thought for
we
you
start.
Guys,
we start at night.
I know. Eight crazy nights.
That's right. Eight crazy nights.
You know, the only thing I miss about, well, not the only thing. One thing I miss about New York is I don't see the dancing rabbis no more this time of year. Anyways, we'll be back next week.